keep it alive. Through these lines I write, I keep it live, cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you're feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd no, we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you check out our website, theantimedia.org, where we talk about most of this news and stuff that we're. Well, where we post articles about all the news and stuff that we talk about on the show. And that's where we pull a lot of the content that we talk about here. I'm also joined here by my co-host in the studio, DB Schwartz. How you doing, man?
Doing well, man. We got some new equipment, and looks like it's going to make the audio quality a lot better.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping, taking it up a notch, and we will be able to take calls tonight. On Monday, we weren't able to take calls, but we figured out why and got it all fixed. If anybody wants to call in and talk with us about any of the stuff we're talking about, feel free to call us 718-717-8296. Once again, it's 718-717-8296, and we're going to be covering Ferguson tonight in depth. We're going to have Mikhail Thalen calling in later from Story Leak on the ground in Ferguson to give us an update about what's going on. At least he said he's going to be calling in as long as quote-unquote shit doesn't pop off. but yeah, he'll be calling in, and we're also joined here by LaVon in the studio. How are you doing tonight?
I am so awesome. How are you?
Pretty good. She may be chiming in a little bit here, but we're going to cover all kinds of stuff tonight with Ferguson, and make sure you guys check out our artists, our musicians that hooked us up with the intro music, Ponder and XL. You can find them on SoundCloud and YouTube and all that good stuff, Bandcamp and all that. And make sure you check out our other shows Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And all the other thing is, before we move on here, UCY.TV, the station that you're listening to right now, make sure you support them and all the other awesome hosts that are on this channel. It's all internet-based. You could tune in from anywhere in the world at any time of the day. If you miss any of our shows, you can go into our archives, which are located on the top left-hand corner there on the website. And you can listen to our shows from last week, last month, 6 months ago, Monday, whatever you want.
It makes a nice alternative to listening to music too, if you get tired of that and don't want to listen to the crappy ass talk radio that's on the waves right now.
Yeah, and don't forget that you could listen in on your phone, man, so you don't got to listen to Sean Hannity if you don't want to. Nobody really likes listening to Sean Hannity spout off, but you could, when you're in the car, you could listen to us on your phone as well. So that's another great option. And, I mean, anything's better than this corporate media. We don't like calling it the mainstream media anymore because it's anything but mainstream. One thing I think I'm starting to realize is that it's not that these guys are just that, it's not that they're so out of touch. I mean, they are, and they are propaganda. But you have to remember that their target audience is like 70. So when they're, the stuff they're talking about, like how Fox News right now has been trying to frame Mike Brown as some kind of thug and some kind of criminal. I saw Megyn Kelly just a I was looking at this clip before we started the show, and she was saying that the governor shouldn't have said that they're going to try to prosecute that officer because that isn't due process, which is pretty true. But Mike Brown didn't get any sort of due process at all. Neither did the other man that got killed by the police a few days ago.
And that's the biggest problem. Is now cops are judge, jury, and execution. And when did they get that right? They're not even highly trained. If we were talking about the cream of the crop people that had education to back it up, or at least military service, that would be something different. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about giving guys that go through an 8-month academy the ability to kill people and get away with it.
And it's no coincidence that you got all these knuckleheads as cops, because there was actually a court ruling a couple years back because a guy tried to sue a police department because they didn't hire him because he was too smart. And turns out that they are allowed to discriminate against you for your smarts if you're trying to be a police officer. So, I mean, I guess it's really not a coincidence there. I mean, the fact that we have all these not very bright people on the police forces, right. It's by design. I mean, these are the people that are going to follow orders. They're going to do what they're told. They're not going to have as much of a conscience as someone that was more intelligent. I mean, it's pretty obvious what's going on here.
You hate to say it because it's denigrating the position. It's like saying a once vaulted profession has now kind of been relegated to the bottom of the barrel type people. And it's awful, man. It's kind of like indicative of what's going on in this whole country, where we have to now insource people in the medical community. Go to a hospital on the West Coast. What are all the nurses? I mean, they're Filipino, dude. Why can't we make our own nurses? Why can't we get highly educated cops? Why can't we pay them more? It would solve so many problems. They're one and the same, man. It's just the education system fails at every level, and then we get people that shouldn't have guns that have guns.
So Anonymous is launching this National Day of Rage, and it's going on tomorrow. I'm going to post the link down in the chat room so that you guys could look at it and find a city near you. If there isn't a city that's already taking part in the event, feel free to comment on the article down below, and I'll update the event. And then you can make a Facebook event and just invite all your friends. But basically, it's a nationwide rally or march or whatever it is that people want to do to support the people in Ferguson. And generally, it's more basically against police violence, police discrimination, and all that stuff. Because we have to remember, I mean, when it comes to dealing with the cops and the justice system, it is much worse for people that are minority, you know, and being a brown person here in San Diego, I've witnessed it and felt it and had it inflicted upon me multiple times, profiling, stereotyping, being treated like crap. You know, they just don't respect your rights half of the time. So, I mean, it's time for the nation to come together and stand up against this police state, because right now there's never been a better time, because right now the profile of police militarization, the profile of police brutality, and the profile of the fact that cops are just killing people like crazy has never been higher. And right now is the perfect time to really draw some attention to this and hopefully create some sort of change out of this.
I mean, we got celebrities tweeting about it. We got national news coverage. And guess what? They're screwing up, which gives us the opportunity to show that they're extinct, because we're getting better news coverage from people down on the ground. You know, they were saying at first we're going to discriminate against people that don't have $50,000 cameras because we can't sell their media. But I think that's started to die down. I think the police start to understand They're being used as pawns. We're going to see if people in an area that we think will be a problem when the economy has a problem, if we can kind of clamp down on them and see how the rest of the surrounding community react to it. And they chose St. Louis purposely. St. Louis is 50% black, 50% white. So they chose it on purpose. They couldn't have picked a better city in the heartland. They wanted to see how we'd react. They wanted to see if they can divide and conquer us anymore or if they're going to have to go on to something else.
Yeah, and I really don't see this as a divide and conquer. If you look at the protests, a lot of the people there joining in the protests are white people, and they're standing alongside with everybody else. Now, of course, the media is going to try to pull that race baiting and stuff. Now, what we have to understand is, yes, the police violence and a lot of the ills of the society is because of your race. And a lot of people that are minorities have it worse off than other people and are discriminated against institutionally, especially by the cops. But does that mean that all white people are bad? No. It definitely doesn't. It means that it's time for everyone to recognize this, acknowledge it, and do what they can to start fixing the situation and start preventing these horrible things from happening.
Yeah.
And it all stems back, we talk about this all the time, it all stems back to our economic situations. And where racism typically comes from is from fear. Fear usually comes from not knowing where you're going to eat or where you're going to sleep or anxiety about the future, not knowing if you're going to be able to eat or sleep.
Especially
if
you have a family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where it all comes from. So all this racial tension, racism, hate, most of it comes from economic insecurity. And then the other half of it comes from brainwashing, whether it be through religion or whether it be through mass media or whether it be through the government, whatever. I mean, it's brainwashing and fear.
Right.
And that's basically it. If we can break through both of those things, we're going to be in a lot better situation. Now,
and it's suppression. Every time it seems like we talk about inequality, we talk about suppression of technology. We know that the poorest people just can't afford energy. That's it. If they had a hamster wheel plugged into an electrical outlet at home and they could run and make their own energy, they'd be a lot better off. So we have an energy monopoly. We have big oil. We have big coal. We have nuclear. We don't need any of them. And once we break free of that, there's no more Fergusons because there's no more inequality, so to speak. You're going to have everybody with what they need to survive. And if you need luxuries, you can work for them. We know that that system is available now with technology that's a century old. So Ferguson, to me, it's just an exercise in control. That's all it is. And it's an exercise in futility because people are waking up too much. Even the people there, we're getting online, and I think we should bring this up, Nick. They were getting online to tell us that they weren't able to see the news on TV, that they were getting blacked out on the internet while this was going on. We're not a culture that you can divide and conquer much longer because of the internet. We understand now it's classism. It's not racism. It's not religion. It's not any of these other dividing factors. It's a bunch of super rich people versus all of us.
Exactly, man. Like you were saying, it's this barrier of entry to get access to the technology and to the resources. And that's one of the first things you learn about in business class when I was in business. It's the barriers of entry. Okay, well, if you're going to get into a business that has an extremely high barrier of entry, then guess what? You got to have a lot of money, a lot of startup capital, and then that means you have got to have an investor. The problem is that think about the barrier of entry, just something as simple as purchasing a home.
Yep.
Okay, and then think back, let's say we think back to, I don't know, the 20s. How hard was it to buy a home back then?
Well, 1 year of salary was a home's price. It's like 10 years now. So we have now a year of salary being a car. How is that going to work if you have other bills to pay? how are you going to get to work? Are we going to transfer everyone with public transportation? I mean, I'm experiencing it now through my own friends that are struggling with their own finances because the economy is in shambles. How do you get around if you're not downtown or by your job? The infrastructure is not set up where we live, Nick. It's just not. And in a lot of cities, it's not. So we're running into some real problems. Now, the richest people in the world, the richest people in our country, they're so far up there that they can never spend it all, ever. And they have it hoarding offshore. They have so much money offshore that they could have stopped the bailout in 08 from needing to happen. It was $700 billion in unclaimed taxes offshore. That's what we gave the banks. So we have class warfare being set up, and guess what? The middle class, who for right now and only right now have a good, basically, living situation, are going to allow the richest people to oppress the poor just so they can wake up tomorrow and have their shitty car and their shitty house and their shitty job. And for how much longer? You got to know the end game's coming up. Pick your side.
And they don't even have, they don't even own their houses for the most part.
No.
It's all mortgaged.
You never own your home.
It's like Monopoly, man. Everything's mortgaged. Yeah. And so if anything ever hits the fan, guess what? The bank's taking your
house.
You're
homeless.
The bank's got your house, dude. And which means the rich people own your house. Right. You don't own it. And all this stuff, I guess, is in this country, it all goes back to the Fed. It all goes back to 1913. Yeah. It all goes back hundreds of years because they've been having central banking for hundreds of years. But it really sealed the deal over here in 1913, and then it really got even worse in the 70s after Nixon bankrupted the country in Vietnam and then closed the gold window, and then the inflation really went out of control. And guess what? For a while there, wages kept up. In the 90s, there was a little bump in wages, but ever since 2001. Ever since the financial crisis, ever since 9/11, the wages haven't kept up.
Right.
And then the financial crisis of 2008 really destroyed the middle class.
Right.
So now what we've got is a bunch of people that aren't nearly making what they should. Mm-hmm. That includes the people on minimum wage, because minimum wage isn't nearly even close to what people need to make a living off of. If the minimum wage had kept up with inflation, it would be like over $20, almost $30 now.
Yeah.
So the minimum wage, I mean, in a vacuum, I don't believe in a minimum wage, but in the Federal Reserve system that's based on this pyramiding debt and massive inflation, it's a must.
Well, does the free market function anymore when we're automated? When we can get rid of all blue-collar jobs, which is maybe 20 years away. Maybe. What are we going to do? We're seeing the beginnings of it now. There's some jobs that are going to not be here next year or the year after that or the year after that because the computer will take them over. So we're at that place where we have to make a decision as a society. Are we going to be sheep? Are we going to let the people that have run things probably forever continue to do it? Because you know what their plans for us are. If you're not one of the top in your field, you're a useless leader. And you know what they'll do. You know, we have an Ebola virus, we have wars, we have anything you can think of to depopulate. So that's their plans. But our plans, if we wake up, free energy, follow your passion, free education, and then imagine where we'll be in 20 years when that happens. I mean, I can only imagine 7 billion people with free education. I mean, we'll be off the planet in 10 years. We'll come up with hyperdrives and sleep pods and generation ships, and we'll be gone. And these fools keep us here. Why? Because they can rule as Lord and Master and keep us all as slaves. But it's time for that to end.
And it can end with this open source tech, Creative Commons tech. You know, no more monopolizing our stuff. Ideas are great, but to monopolize them is just foolish. And so I guess Ferguson is just a small sample of what can and will come if we don't take the proper path, if we don't take the right measures. This is what will come to all of America, and it's not just going to be the poor black people in a predominantly black neighborhood. It's going to be everybody.
It's everyone.
And so everyone needs to stand up right now with the people of Ferguson, and I really want to encourage you guys to go click on that link that I posted in the chat room there and join one of the protests. There's like over 50 now, so there should be one pretty close to you. If not, like I said, just create an event, put the details.
Some people probably don't even know who Michael Brown is. Some people probably still don't know what's going on in Ferguson. I mean, this is the era we're in. The information is accessible, but years of generational brainwashing have made the situational awareness of current events kind of faux pas here. Like, oh, you're an intellectual. You know things. Oh, you eat organic. Oh, you drive a hybrid. This is the generational brainwashing that we have to crack and beat. And this is why I hate the baby boomers saying shit. Because we now have to fix your crap.
I want to go in here to talk about, and somewhat of hypocritically, some of these statements that these people are making here. But I want to talk about what these other countries are saying about what's going on here in Ferguson. The first one comes out of Egypt. The Sisi regime, which was responsible for thousands of deaths in Rabia al-Adawiya, urges the U.S. to show restraint in Ferguson. And at first, when I clicked on this link, I thought it was satire, but it's not. A spokesman for the Egyptian Foreign Ministry controversially spoke out back in the United Nations call for the United States authorities to deal with the protests according to the American and international standards, and supporting a United Nations appeal for what he described as a restraint and respect for the right of assembly and peaceful expression of opinion. Now, this is coming from Egypt. These are people that just committed a military coup, killed thousands of people. But even they can sit there and see these images coming out and say, okay, this is wrong. The next countries, Russia and China. Both China and Russia emphasize that the United States should focus on its own problems before pointing the finger at others. An author named Li Li wrote for the Chinese state-run news agency Xinhua that the events in Ferguson once again demonstrate that even in a country that has for years tried to play the role of an international human rights judge and defender, there is still much room for improvement at home. And this is a point that we touch on here a lot at the anti-media, about our moral authority. And, for instance, what we did over in Libya. We didn't really have the moral authority to go into Libya and knock out this dictator. Because if you look here in the U.S., we got just as many problems, just as many people that are oppressed, just as many people that are living in third world situations as they did in Libya. In fact, most of the Libyans actually had a pretty decent income before we knocked Gaddafi out of play, because they had basically nationalized the oil. From South Africa, Richard Pithouse compares the events in Ferguson to the conflict in Gaza and to the 2012 miners' strike in Marikana, South Africa, tracing the roots of state violence to colonialism. The person who is always treated as if they are armed, whose life counts for nothing, whose home has no sanctity, is a terrorist in Gaza, a gangster or a criminal in Port-au-Prince, Ferguson, Rio, or Durban. Mr. Pithouse writes that the images from Ferguson showed what only can be understood as a mode of policing rooted in contemporary forms of imperial and colonial power in the Middle East, as well as a long history of state violence against black people in the United States, which is completely true. I mean, he strikes the similarity here between what's going on in Ferguson to what's going on in Gaza, and I think that's a perfect comparison because... basically, these people are trapped in this situation with hardly any way of getting out. The education system sucks. The ladder to climb for success is basically non-existent. They don't get as much money for education. You know, the services are messed up, and basically they're trapped in there. And what do they have? An oppressive police force that hassles them all day long.
Yeah. It's just part of a control grid to keep a permanent lower class, which serves kind of as a reminder to the middle class to kind of keep in line, or this is how you could end up. I mean, it's always been well known in America that the poorest class just only is strictly there for PSYOP. That's all. We have a welfare system that allows this class to continually perpetuate and then to show the other people that actually keep the economy going what would happen to them if they were to ever fall off the hamster wheel. We do Ferguson's. We do any kind of a thing. Do you remember back when they firebombed Philadelphia because there were an anti-government group? Can we remember Waco, which was a religious sect but still didn't want to pretty much follow the rules of the federal government? We're going to continue to have this problem. Ferguson in a microcosm shows us what's going on in our country. We're going to all become disenfranchised once this complete corporate takeover of our government takes place. That's what they're preparing us for. They want us to not believe in government anymore, to believe big business will give you the solutions. And trust me, they'll be just as bad, if not worse.
Yeah, and I think we kind of already are there, because the majority of Americans, I think it was 13%, fully trust the government to make the right decision. The good news is that only 17% fully trust large corporations to make good decisions. So I think we're kind of there. At least everyone under 40 is basically at this point where they're like, screw the government and screw the corporations. We don't want either one of them. Both of them screwed us over.
Mm-hmm. You can't condense power. You can't expect a human being to be put on a pedestal and not act like a jerk. Every king, every queen, every high priest or priestess inevitably will pretty much abuse their power. And the ones that don't go down in history as being the ultimate good guys, right? So there's so many rarities of that. And we just got to kind of crack that whole monarchy. We don't live officially under a monarchy, but I promise you a monarchy is running everything that's important in this country. The original monarchy. And all the positions are still there. We got to break them.
So the next country here that commented on the situation in Ferguson is India. In the Times of India, Chandanand Rajgada writes that the methods employed by the city's mostly white police and state leaders were strong-arm tactics more familiar in third-world situations. Mr. Rajgada writes that the incident has laid bare in black and white racial tensions that continue to dog the world's quote-unquote greatest democracy, and they put those in quotes. Nearly 240 years after its independence and some 150 years after slavery was abolished.
And I love that. Because India is now the greatest democracy. They had 900 million votes cast in their last election out of 1.2 million people. That's a 75% turnout.
1.2 billion, yeah.
That's the billion, sorry. I mean, we got 22% for 2012. And Obama won with 48% approval. We always like to joke, 10% of the country likes him. And he's the president.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that that's nowhere near a mandate. That wasn't half. If 150 million Americans had voted for Obama, okay, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But no, only 20% of Americans voted for Obama, which is...
No. He got 30 million or so votes.
Okay, so he got... It's about 10% of Americans voted for Obama.
Oh, my God.
And he's able... And his administration is able to dictate to the rest of the country... what it is that we're going to do and what we're
tyranny
going to do.
Of the vocal minority, because there's no majority in America. Let's not pretend that we can be served by two political classes when we have every nationality, every religion, and constant immigration. We need 10 political parties. I mean, at the very least, we should have like 5: far left, middle, right, far right. I mean, have them fight it out. Why don't we have people arguing? Why don't we have a fist fight in Congress? Why do other countries have politicians beating the shit out of each other? We've never had a fist fight once. Not since probably the 1700s. I want to see Rand Paul beat the fuck out of someone. Then maybe I'll remember that we're represented by people.
Yeah, man. I mean, that'd be nice. I was thinking the other day that we should take all these guys out of the MMA fights and instead of having them beat up their
President
girlfriends,
Lester.
Just throw them in Congress and have them beat up Congress for a while. Because, I mean, it would be at least constructive. I mean,
yeah.
What's going on right now, like you said, the vocal minority, that's if we're thinking if speech is money, which we are. Because right now, according to Citizens United, speech is money. And guess what? Who wins the election? Whoever's got the money.
Yeah.
You know, Lindsey Graham just got reelected. Nobody likes that guy.
Diane, you know who likes Lindsey Graham? The Koch brothers. And you know who likes any Democrat? Soros. And that's all you need to know. You don't mean shit if you're not a billionaire. We got to change that. Because there's 300 million of us. What if tomorrow people realize that the banks were going to collapse the day ahead and they didn't go to work? All the millionaires and billionaires would go broke too. I promise you.
I got a bunch of friends out here in San Diego that are Democrats, and they absolutely can't stand Dianne Feinstein. But she keeps getting reelected. She's been reelected for what?
Incumbent.
She's been in office for like 80, 90 years now?
8 terms.
I mean, how old is she? Like 200 years old?
She's 60 or 70 or something.
I mean, she's been in office forever. And then most of my Democrat friends can't stand Obama, but he won again.
How? Yeah, I'm at a loss, dude. I understand how Jerry Brown got in. He got in on a recall and followed one of the worst guys ever in Gray Davis. But, yeah, we got to have a way for the people to recall a president. We can't wait for an impeachment. You know, what if more people than voted for Obama signed for him to be removed? Why is that program not in effect? He'd be gone tomorrow.
I mean, ideally, that's what we would have, is these instantaneous recalls once these guys start acting like fools.
Yeah, but you pass a bill we don't like.
The system is set up in a way where these guys can get in, do some dumb things, and then for a year they can be nice, and then they get a bunch of money, and then they run a campaign where they act like they're nice, and then they make whoever's running against them look like shit.
Yeah.
They pass laws, like here in California, the top two primary, where you basically make it nearly impossible for an independent to run for office, let alone win. You know, this thing what's his name, Jesse Ventura won, that was a fluke.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and he was a celebrity and stuff, you know, and that was a fluke. And that never happens.
Yeah.
Okay. There's only like less than 5 independents in Congress out of 500. 40% of the people in the United States identify as independents. So basically, at least 40% have zero representation.
Is that everybody under 40?
Basically. I mean, basically, yeah. The Republicans have absolutely zero support under 40, save for a few, you know, I don't know who, but the Democrats are at least sort of favorable because they identify slightly with certain things like women's rights and stuff like that, which is mostly just superficial stuff.
Right. Well, yeah, it's the thing with the Democrats is that you can't help but support them because of the alternative.
Yeah, exactly.
The alternative is a bunch of rich, white, religious dudes, and they don't like anybody else. So if you're not one of them, you're a Democrat. But here's the thing. The Democrats are legislating stuff that the government doesn't need to do and shouldn't be involved in. There shouldn't be marriage tax breaks, period. You want to be married and have children, pay for it. If you want to have a couple of guys with children, pay for it. Because we're overpopulated according to the people that know what our resources are. We can't continue to grow infinitely until we get off the planet. We got to cap it somewhere. So get rid of all these social magnetized control vehicles.
It's social engineering. I mean, for the government to sit there and subsidize marriage, which basically is what they're doing, because they say, okay, well, if you get married, you get a tax break.
Right.
And for every kid you have, you get a tax break. And for this, you get a tax break. And for that, you get a tax break. No, how about everybody is an individual, and if we're going to have taxes, which I don't believe in taxes, but if we're going to have taxes, then everyone just equally pays a percentage.
Right.
You know what? And so if you have $100 billion, then you get taxed $10 billion a year.
Right.
And if you have
flat rate,
if you make 10 grand, then you get then you pay $1,000 a year.
Well, most countries in the world don't have a staggered rate. They have a flat rate. You go down to Latin America, it's flat rate. Now here's the thing. You got to balance what you actually have in the books, paying people to administrate it and distributing it, and then getting what everybody actually would need to live so that we don't have a riot. We don't have a food riot in the future. We don't have a huge homeless population. Why would we ever have homeless population in the U.S. when, what was it, every homeless guy, there's 23 homes that are sitting there?
There's way more than enough houses for each homeless person to at least temporarily live in a house while it's being renovated or getting ready to sell or on the market. And then once that house sells, then they can move to the next house that's on the market. Yeah, there's no reason to have homeless a homeless problem that we do. And here in San Diego, it's kind of it's on full display because we've got the highest homeless problem per capita here in San Diego just because we have real nice weather. And so people here don't have to worry about freezing to death at night and then burning up during the day. It's kind of, at least it's kind of comfortable to be out on the streets. And now here's the problem. The cops have made it basically illegal to be homeless.
Right.
So guess what? If you're homeless in San Diego, you can only stay in one place at night and sleep for about an hour at a time. And then the cops will come, kick you, wake you up, tell them to either write you a ticket or tell you to get the hell out of there. And that's what they do. There are homeless shelters and stuff, but they're limited. And most of them are only open for the women and the children get the first pick. And then anything left over, then the guys get to go in. And there's very, very limited space. Most of these guys are on the streets. When we had a homeless action a couple months ago at the beginning of the summer. This was at the beginning of the spring. We're giving out warm clothes, sleeping bags, tents and stuff. And you wouldn't believe the amount of people that had tickets just for sleeping on the streets. And there were some people that literally had 10, 15 citations that they're never going to get out of. And one day, soon, they're going to end up having to go to jail to get rid of these tickets.
Well, the debtor's prison's been like, I mean, think about this. You have the military industrial complex. You have the pharmaceutical industrial, the prison industrial. Imagine what the prison industrial is going to do with the debtor prison. We don't need China. So you have to understand how we're restructuring our society and getting people to accept more and more really crappy things happening to those who won't play ball. And then brainwashing those who do play ball to think, oh, you're a real good employee or such and such. Let me reward you with a few peanuts while I'm making trillions. This is where we're at in society. You know, if the natural resources of the world were divvied up evenly to all 7 billion people, we would all have about $3 million. Think you could live off that? That's what it's really at. So we have a couple guys at the top, and they spread their breadcrumbs, and they spread them to their lackeys who enforce on us to play the same game so we can get the lackeys' breadcrumbs. And that's where we're at in society.
And it's all being done via monopolistic business practices, which is, you know, institutionalized capitalism.
And basically. Fear the gun.
And then those are the guy, those same guys control the government. And then the government tells the cops to keep everyone in line. Whether you're dirt broke, whether you're homeless, whether you're a minority living in the slum. No matter where you're at, even if you're in the middle class, guess what? You still can't act out.
Nah.
Now, if you're extremely, extremely rich, like that one guy that was the heir to the 3M fortune, he got away with molesting a kid.
Yeah, and it wasn't only a kid. That was his niece, and he raped her. And it was proven, and he still didn't go to jail because he bought it away. And that's the reality of the world we live in. Until we realize that money doesn't provide food, it doesn't provide shelter, it doesn't provide education, it sure as hell doesn't provide love. And those are the only things that make life worth living, honestly. You set up comfort for your physical body so you can spiritually ascend. And that's what these fucking elites want to prevent us from doing. They want slaves. Pure and simple. Just break from the matrix and we're free.
As long as they can keep us in this hamster wheel, then we can never think. And we can never organize. And ever since Martin Luther King came along, they realized that they can't let that happen again. Because you got to remember, Martin Luther King was around. That was only, you know, that was the late 60s, early 70s. That was before all this crap that took place after Nixon really started kicking in.
Yeah.
So back in those days, you can still get you were still able to get along with a one-income family. You were still able to own a home, own a car, not have to worry too much about bills and stuff. Now, people that are quote-unquote middle class, well, you got two working parents.
But you're not middle. Yeah, you're not middle class.
You got kids that got to work and not go to school because they got to work, or they got to go to school and work and pay.
Middle class is not paycheck to paycheck. And 90% of Americans are that. So that if they were fired, if they didn't have someone to turn to for help or any cash reserves, they're homeless. All right? And this is what FEMA camps have been set up for. But we as a society have allowed this. We've allowed it. We've allowed a few people to profit off of everyone else. And now guess what happens when there's any hiccup? Any hiccup at all, the rich will let you die, literally. Because what happens if food triples and your salary doesn't? Who's going to go hungry? You or your children? You. I mean, these are real situations. Crops take 3 months to grow. You can't just all of a sudden plant seeds in the backyard and be like, I'll be okay. Nah, you need to have food ready, water ready, seeds ready. If you don't, you're going to be one of the millions that don't. And what do you think those FEMA camps are set up for? I mean, just in a nutshell, and just to keep it simple, Ferguson is a litmus test.
And once again, man, that's why we got to stand with it right now and stand for a change, man, and fight for justice, equality, and just a fair chance at this game, dude, because life is, you know, in a way, life is a game. Right now, the rules are just rigged against the majority of everybody, unless you're someone that's born into a F-load of wealth or someone that's willing to cut a bunch of throats on the way up to the top.
Yep.
You know, yeah, there are billionaires that started off humble, but guess what they had to do to get to those situations? Have you seen, there's been studies that show that the people that are extremely rich have a lot less empathy. And
they tend to be psychopathic.
Yeah, and if you look at the percentage of their everyone's like, oh, well, the rich, they're all philanthropists. They give all their money. Oh, really? Yeah, they might give a big chunk. You might see a big number. Oh, a couple million here, a couple million there. Bill
Gates.
What's
that to you?
This, that, and the other.
It's like a 20.
But here's the thing. Looking at a percentage of the income, poor people give away a lot more of their money to help other people. Yeah. And we did a video the other day on one of our websites. It was called the Real Homeless Experiment, right? Because there was this experiment where they did this homeless thing and it was all rosy and stuff. There was another video where they took a guy that was homeless and they put him out on the street and they had him ask for money so that he can buy a cup of coffee. Everybody walked by him. Everybody ignored him. He was saying the same exact thing. And then they cleaned him up, gave him a haircut, put him in a suit. And then they put him out in front of the same building. Almost everyone that he asked for 25 cents to get coffee, people just gave it to him.
Mm.
You know, so we need to realize that, man. And we got to realize that we need to, people that are, you know, okay right now, need to help other people build the ladders to get out of these horrible situations. Because if not, everyone's going to end up down in the gutters.
Yeah.
And then it's only going to be these oligarchs at the top, and you think they give a damn? They think you think they give a damn about us? No, they don't.
Oh. Well, we're in that window because we have maybe 10 more years for human labor to be really valuable. I mean, if the wealthy could have already automated everything, they would have. So we're in that position to demand our government that has been their lackeys and their puppets, and they control them because of money. We need to take money out of it. So Citizens United should be overturned right away. And honestly, it should be really a criminal penalty to lobby over a certain dollar amount. It needs to be a felony, and a federal one at that. We got to keep big donors out. Okay? Secondly, the only thing we can really do is negotiate with our own government, which, by the way, when they say they're broke, bullshit. They own trillions in assets. We own Japan. We own Germany. We own Italy. You name a country that we bombed in World War II, we own them. Okay? We're not rich. And we're not poor. We're very rich. We're ungodly rich. We need to have free education basically negotiated for everybody. Otherwise, in the future, they're going to easily say, you don't have a skill set that we need, so sorry. I guess you'll just starve. We can't let that happen. Other countries in the world that have our resource base and our wealth already have that set up. Canada, England, Germany, France, all of the so-called first world countries, free healthcare, free education, we got to get that set up too.
So I wanted to go into this stuff about Ferguson a little more here, and I want to touch on foreign policy at the end, but the video of the other guy that was shot by the cops down in Ferguson, which was, I think, about 3 or 4 days ago, the video has been released, and I'm going to paste that in the chat right now so that everyone can see, because it just came out, and I want to know what you guys think about it. Feel free to call in. I think we're going to have Derek Rose call in right now in a few minutes, too, to talk about some alternatives to the state of policing right now and maybe some community alternatives that are non-governmental. If you guys want to call in and chime in on this stuff, 718-717-8296. So I know you and me watched that video right before the show, and it really didn't look like these guys had to shoot that guy. Yeah. It looked a lot like they could have simply tased the guy and took him down.
Yeah.
Just like they to Mike Brown. They probably, if he was being aggressive, if he was charging, if he was doing any of that stuff, I mean, they could have just tased the guy and brought him down. Right. And didn't have to do all that other stuff.
Well, the coroner's report said he was hit kind of from behind in a way. Maybe some kind of scuffle had erupted between him and the officer. If we're to believe logically that the cop kind of cut off Mike Brown and his accomplice or whatever, the guy he was with when he was so-called jaywalking in a suburban neighborhood of Ferguson, that he opened the door and hit Mike Brown or whatever happened, and he pretty much felt like, there's no way I'm going to take this huge guy on. He pulls his gun. Mike Brown sees it. Mike Brown's like, I'm going to die. Scuffles with the guy, maybe trying to knock the guy out of the gun out of his hand. And he got hit fleeing. He got hit 35 feet from the cop car. And then he got According to witnesses, they have no reason to lie, really. If you think about it, an average citizen lying against the police, where's the motivation? The police lying against the public to protect their own guy, all the motivation. So that's what we have, man. You have a kid that didn't comply. He saw some guy probably feel threatened and go to draw his gun. What would you do? He'd probably try to knock it out of his hand so he could book it. Couldn't do it. Got 30 feet away, got shot. I mean, if he'd robbed the liquor store ahead of the time or not, this cop didn't know. And then when it was found out that he didn't rob it, but instead returned a box of cigars because he didn't have the money, it changes everything, man, and it shows the obvious smear campaign.
It really does. It really does. And I think Fox is being completely complicit. But if you look at their audience, it's no wonder why. Their audience is a bunch of racist old people. And so it's kind of understandable that Fox is going to pander to that wing of society, unfortunately. Now, I do got to kind of give it up to CNN, at least their reporter on the ground.
he was kind of, you know, questioning the militarization of the police. And I did an article on that the other day about how the world is waking up to the dangers of the militarization of the police. And you could feel free to check that out. It's on theantimedia.org. And I mean,
yep. Because where does it end? I mean, they have drones. When do the drones become armed? When does your unpaid parking ticket become a hellfire through your window?
I mean, exactly. I mean, when's it going to happen? I mean, we already got drones flying over. Now, you were saying that you saw some reports about there being a lot of drones flying in Ferguson and stuff.
Yeah, and you can watch videos and hear that constant buzz, similar to Gaza. The parallels are there. They want to see how people react to being stuck in a trap and put on a hamster wheel. It's worked really well in America because of bread and circus. But that shit's not working so much anymore because, honestly, people realize there's a hell of a lot more to life than football and reality shows. And there's no substance there. Now, older generations that grew up on it, maybe they're still brainwashed enough and let's just face it, inundated with everything around them and the changing world. But we're not. We're seeing it. Ferguson has changed everyone's minds. We now understand we're the enemy to those in control. And that is obvious, and that is also logical. Because guess what? The greed, the bailout, the fact that everyone's having lowering living standards. For what? For greed. It's not going to fly.
Yeah, man. And we got to stop these thugs, which I see as these cops, from doing what they're doing. Now, there was yesterday a mercenary group called Asymmetric Solutions was called in. And these guys were called in to basically protect some kind of high-profile something or other in there. I think we have Derek Bros on the line now. How you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, brother? How you doing?
Pretty good, man. You're on the line with me and DB here. We were talking about Ferguson pretty much the whole show. And if you guys aren't familiar with Derek Bros, he's with the Houston Freethinkers, the Conscious Resistance .com. He does a bunch of articles. He writes with the Anti-Media as well. We've been talking about Ferguson and all the downfalls of the police and how the police are a tool of basically the elite. But I wanted to see if you could talk about that article you wrote a while back about alternatives to the current state of policing and maybe community alternatives and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. So the article was, I think it was titled something like, does community defending offer a better alternative to police state community policing? And I did a video segment about it, but basically just I was using as one example, looking at what's happened in Michoacan with the auto defenses out there, people basically coming back and deciding to fight off the drug cartels and, you know, trying to take their communities back, and specifically looking at one area where the auto communities were basing their policing off of older indigenous models and talking about how that can be applied here in the United States and if it could be applied in the United States. And then I also give a couple of examples based on what's happening in Detroit, where groups like the, the Detroit Viper Management, which is like a private police, which, you know, some people have legitimate fears about, but basically they're outworking the Detroit Police Department. The Detroit chief is pretty famous for saying, for telling citizens to arm themselves because they can't help them. And, you know, it was taking the Detroit Police Department at one time 58 minutes to respond to emergency calls. Now they got that down to something like 15 or 20 minutes. But because Detroit's going bankrupt, there's just not enough cops and resources. So Detroit Threat Management, they're called Vipers. They're private and they protect victims of domestic violence. They protect people, and people can call them as an alternative to the police. And they've become really popular. And, you know, just looking at those examples and seeing how while they, you know, every area is not going to work exactly the same. So what works in Michoacan is not going to work necessarily in Houston or in San Diego, and the same thing, what works in Detroit is not going to work everywhere else. But I think these, you know, are important things we have to start asking ourselves, and especially in light of what's happening in Ferguson, and like you said, that the police essentially, if they haven't always been, they definitely are this day and age a tool of the elite or the ruling class. And, you know, some people say they're built in, or the institutions themselves are wrong. It's more what I believe, that they, you know, ultimately, that if there are good cops out there, then they would be arresting the bad cops, and we wouldn't have all this crazy stuff that we've been seeing lately. It would, you know, I, like, for example, and what I talk about in the article is, if Detroit Threat Management, if they shot one of their customers that hired them, well, then not only would they be charged with the crime, but they would definitely probably go out of business, you know. But in the instance of the police and St. Louis police and the state police and even the National Guard and private ops, these people are most of them are, you know, we're paying for them through our taxes. We're paying their funds and paying their paychecks. So you don't have an option right now, because the police have a monopoly on force and violence. So in your community, when the cops do something crazy like that, the only thing you can do is come out to the streets and be pissed off and try to get them to be like, hey, we're not going to take this anymore. But if you had other choices, and we had different models, which I think looking to indigenous communities is a wise way to go, if you had other models, you could just fire them. You know, if this person, this police force wasn't protecting your community, was threatening your community, you would say, get the hell out of the community, we're not paying you anymore, you know, get out of here, and maybe you'd have a different option. And that's just the gist of what the article covers. And like I said, I think these questions are important, and, you know, whether or not people think that privatized police forces are the answer, you know, the conversation needs to happen if we're going to realistically think about how we can transition from this police state towards something that you know, is more of a reflection of what communities want. Because otherwise, that's where we do have the potential for plenty of people's fears of, like, just violent vigilante gangs and, you know, just popping up all over the place. That is definitely a possibility if we don't plan, communicate, and come up with these ideas for what we're going to do in these situations. You know, there's a lot of chaos that we see in Ferguson. There's all kinds of groups that are vying for power there, and this is the scary part and the realistic part about a revolution. You know, plenty of people think that it's just going to be, oh, it's just going to be the awake, people who are aware of conspiracies or the libertarian crowd or whatever, that we're going to be the only ones that are going to be trying to shape the world, what we look like, what we want to look like post, you know, the government. But there's going to be all kinds of people vying for power and different ideas on how to make the community work. So I think it's wise for us to talk these things out now and figure out what the future world might look like.
Exactly, man. And you know, one thing that we can say for sure, whether or not one sort of community policing will work over another, the one thing that we do know for sure is that the current state of affairs, the current state of policing, no matter what part of the country you're at, in any major city, it's not right. Something is wrong, and these cops aren't being held responsible for their actions. Yeah, maybe there are some sheriffs in some towns that are actually representative of the people and stuff like that, but there definitely are some that aren't. We covered extensively this sheriff in a small town in Florida that basically had zero crime, but this guy still wanted to get these MRAP armored vehicles and stuff in this little tiny rural town where there's no crime or anything. So, I mean, whether we go one way or another, whether we go with the autonomous community type stuff that we see that's taking place down in Mexico, where they fought off the cartels and they fought off the government and decided to govern themselves, whether we go that route, whether we go a private route where we have companies that do it, or like security companies, at least if we did it that way, there would be some kind of accountability. Because right now, when a cop shoots a guy that's unarmed, and whether the guy was deserving of it or not, the cop ends up getting basically a paid administrative leave, which is basically a vacation, you know, and that is not accountability. So what we need to do is figure out ways, and obviously the current government is an oligarchy, and it's not accountable to the people. So we need to figure out a way to get more accountability in, and I'm willing to look at as many options as possible. Hey, Derek, thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah.
That's the music coming in. We look forward to having you on a show in the future. Catch you guys on Friday with LeBron.
Yo, here we go through the stereo.